I'm Shona. I'm a compulsive overeater. So I'm stupidly nervous, but I want to thank Richard for asking me to speak, and he's not even here today, but this is, I've been coming to this, I've been in program for over 6 years. I've been coming to this meeting for pretty much that whole time, so being up here is, I just never really thought that I would actually be on this side of the, but I am super, super grateful for being a compulsive overeater today. I think I always start out my shares with, like, I'm so grateful that I'm a compulsive overeater because it got me into 12-step work, and being in OA has totally changed my life. I'm also super grateful for this whole experience. Like, this week leading up to sharing here has been so interesting to me, like, such a practice in just observing my thoughts. Like, I've just been anxious, like, all week about it. Like, every time I think about it, I want to start, like, I've been constantly thinking what I'm going to say and then start planning and managing and controlling. And so, like, what a gift, because every time I do that, I'm like, okay, God, help me. Like, help me just come right back to where I am right now. And, like, Saturday is Saturday, and I'm not in Saturday. It's only Monday. You know, I tell myself that, and my sponsor tells me that. And, like, it just helps me, like, be, like, right where my hands are. Like, I hear a lot, like, be where your feet are. And my sponsor mentioned, like, be where my hands are, which just helps me, because sometimes I just need to hear things in a different way. And because I type a lot at work, so I'm just like, okay, I can see my hands. I can see them. I'm right here. I'm right in this moment, and everything is safe and okay right now. So I just feel, you know, in that same way, like, I'm grateful for, like, all my compulsive thoughts and all the fears and all the, like, everything that I want to do that hurts me, like, all the thinking that I have that hurts me, because that's my reminder to go to God and not to me. Like, every time I have a thought that's painful, I get to ask God to be with me and help me feel safe and, like, protect me from those thoughts, protect me from my mind. So my story, so much time. okay, so I will share, like, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. Just a little bit about what it was like. I guess I always remember being a compulsive overeater. I was a chubby kid. I always ate till it hurt. My mom put me on a diet when I was, like, in third grade or something, and that's when I remember, like, that's when I remember thinking, like, oh, I'm fat, and I shouldn't eat those pies at Thanksgiving. I wasn't allowed to eat pie at Thanksgiving. And so then I think that's kind of, like, where some of the, like, I won't eat in front of you, but I'll eat by myself kind of stuff started happening. And then I was, like, a really early developer. Like, I had, like, boobs in fifth grade and, like, didn't want that at all, and, like, was not comfy with my body, like, starting at, like, a very young age, and just wanted it to be different and smaller. And so then it just, you know, all that stuff kept going, and I started everything, like, ordering the books from the back of Teen Magazine that told you how to lose weight, and doing all that, like, exercises in my room like crazy. And there were some moments where I could, like, you know, hold it down, like, hold down the spring and, like, work out crazy and only eat fat-free stuff and lose weight. And then as soon as I was done with the, and I would be able to do that for, like, prom or, like, an event. So I would be able to, like, hold it down and, like, control it for, like, short periods of time. And then, of course, like, that led to, like, a big binge afterwards. Always. And I have tried, like, you know, I would plan vacations where I had to be in a bathing suit so that I would, you know, force myself to not eat, and plan, like, you know, dates and, you know, things where I'd have to be naked and stuff like that so that I could, like, not eat. Blah, 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 blah. So all that. And then I really got into drugs for a while, too, the kind that, like, make you not eat and real skinny, and even that stopped working after a while. Like, even that, like, this disease is so powerful that even that didn't work anymore after a while. So, I tried coming to OA. Like, I knew I had a problem with food, but I didn't know what it was called because I thought you had to be bulimic or anorexic, or I didn't know you could just be an overeater. And so I came to OA, I think it was like 1999. I went to a meeting in San Francisco, and I heard God and completely was like, that is not what I'm about. And I was like, I'll have to find something else. Because I didn't grow up with any, well, we didn't say the word God in my house growing up. It was like, I always thought that was, like, if you believed in God, you were weak, and, this isn't happening for me because, like, God doesn't want it to, and I was just like, well, get your shit together and do it, is, like, what I always, like, that's how I talk to myself. That's how I talk to myself and about everything. Like, I was so mean to myself, and I still am when it's me talking to me. You know, like, I still have the meanest thoughts come into my mind. So I left, and then I came back in, like, it was around, so it was 2006 here in LA, and I just didn't have any, I tried therapy and group therapy and all kinds of other stuff, and then finally tried it again, like, Googling help for, like, groups for overeaters, and at that point, I was just like, I don't care that they're using the word God. I don't know what else to do. And I'm super, super grateful that I got a sponsor right away. I actually got to walk up here today with the woman that was my sponsor for the first 5 years in program. Thank you. And I just, like, I asked the first person that, like, looked peaceful and was available. And I am so grateful for sponsorship. Like, it just blows my mind, like, how much time people are willing to give, you know? And I do it now, too. Like, I've had sponsees over the years, and I have one sponsee now who's just, like, such a gift in my life. Like, I am grateful every single time I hang up the phone with him. It's an amazing experience to watch somebody and to be allowed to be, like, to be able to call someone all the time and, like, talk about, like, the crazy in my head and, like, get, like, some sanity back from that person. It's, like, a total miracle. So I worked all 12 steps in the like, workbook is how I did, everything. I feel like you guys are getting me at a funny time in program because if I shared here, like, a year ago or something, I would be like, and I go to three meals a day. That's funny. I go to three meetings a week. And I call a bunch of people and I write every day and I meditate 5 minutes in the morning and I do all this stuff and I don't really do all that stuff, like, regularly anymore. But it sure helped me for like, my first, I don't know, four or five years in program. Like, I called my sponsor every day. I went to at least three meetings a week, usually more. I had, like, tons of people that I communicated with on a really regular basis. Like, those mandatory suggestions were really, really helpful for me. Like, I needed it in the beginning. things just change, right? Things, like, the river of life just keeps flowing and, like, things become different and I don't know if the road narrows or widens or curves or whatever it does, but I'm grateful for my relationship with my first sponsor because when we stopped working together, it was like this really beautiful, like, honest, like, open communication. But even before that, there was, like, we went through, like, different phases of, like, what worked for us in our communication style, and, like, I learned all that stuff here. Like, I learned how to, like, ask for what I need and say, like, you know, I need a little more. Like, that doesn't really work for me, and because I followed her example, or I followed, you know, what everyone taught me. So I was just, like, this is, like, at the beginning of this year that I started working with a new sponsor. It just hadn't been feeling quite right with the previous one, and it just sort of all organically, beautifully, easily happened that someone else started being able to hear something that someone else said and started working with someone new. But I've started kind of back on step zero, working with somebody new, and just like, I feel like I'm in this totally new spot where I'm just, like, really understanding, like, what it is that I'm actually dealing with here. Like, it's, I've heard a lot, you know, you hear, like, it's this disease centers in our minds and not in our bodies. And I always thought that meant, like, it's not, like, my body might be, like, it's not the size of my body, but it's, like, what I think of my body is always kind of, like, how I interpreted that, because we're all different sizes, but we all have the same brain. But I guess what I'm understanding is that it's not really that. It's, like, it doesn't have anything to do with food or body. It's my thinking that's warped and distorted. It's, like, how I actually think that's the problem. Like, that's my disease. It's not, like, anything else outside of me. So I started just, like, observing, like, my thoughts, and realizing, like, just how powerless I am. Like, I'm totally powerless over food, but I'm also completely powerless over the thoughts that my mind is producing. And it just really has been helping me to just, like, observe that. Like, when it's me producing the thoughts, like, I, like, just about speaking here, like, I... Like, I want to say everything perfectly and have you guys love me so much and think I'm brilliant and insightful and so recovered and all of those things. And, like, and then my sponsor asked me, like, okay, and then what? Like, what if you get all that? And then I'm like, oh, then everyone will compliment me and I won't. That's, I don't want that. And so, like, I just, like, it's not, like, I can't win, you know? Like, I don't, it's... Like, no matter what, like, if I fix the thing I think I need to fix, then there's something else, like, directly following it. Like, I'm always scanning, like, I have it's a mind-powered disease that is always looking for something wrong. Like, there's always something wrong with something. So if it's not my body or food or what I'm eating or, you know, then it's my boyfriend, my relationship or my job or someone thinks I'm stupid or I didn't do a good enough job on this or... You know, it's all that stuff. So just being, like, totally aware of that, like, knowing, like, that's just me producing all these thoughts. Like, then, like, I just get to admit that I am a complete defeat, and I just get to ask God to help me. Like, all right, God, I can't do this. Like, what do you want me to do next? Like, what is the next thing you'd like me to do? And then I just do that. And that's, like, and it's so simple. You know, when I can do that. So I guess, and with the food stuff, like, I just, it got to a point where, like, I couldn't, like, I've tried so much different, like, I wrote down my food, emailed my food over to a food sponsor for a while, had, like, a meal plan and like, it got to this point where, like, I would make commitments about stuff and I just couldn't keep them. And, like, I thought I knew how I should be eating. And, like, I was like, this is what I need to do and I need to, and I'm going to commit to it. And then I couldn't do it. So just, like, again, like, another level of powerlessness. And so, I like heard a new message from my sponsor that was just like, okay, God, like, I just started praying, like, God, just, can you just be with me right now? Like, I would be, like, at the fridge, like, staring, like, eating something from the fridge, and, like, standing up. And I was just like, all right, God, can you be, just be with me? Like, just be with me right now. And And, like, if you want me to stop this behavior, like, please help me stop. Because that took, like, the I know what's best for me out of it, you know? Like, the, like this is wrong, and this needs to stop, because I know. And, like, the truth is, like, I don't know. Like, that's me still trying to control my life and control my body and control what everything looks like. So if I just completely give up control and ask God, like, I don't know. What do you think? And so I don't have to try to fix and control things. I just get to, like, completely let go, ask God to restore me to sanity, work the steps, and then, like, build a new character, a new person who, like, doesn't want the food or the validation or the, you know, whatever it is, or the glass of wine, or what, you know, whatever it is to, like, feel better. Like, I just get to go to God and work this spiritual program, and then I'm a person who doesn't even have those cravings for that stuff, which is, like, just a new way of thinking about it for me. So after, you know, after so many years in program, like, to start thinking about that in a different way. So I don't feel like I have, like, I don't know if it's so OA, you know, like, I just, I'm trying to, like, go to God with everything. Totally, crazily imperfect. And so that's where I am today. And I feel like, I feel so free so much of the time. Like, really, and I, as soon as I am, when I ask God to be with me, one of the best assignments the sponsor ever gave me was to go on a walk with God. It was when I was working my third step, in a different program. Like, 2 years ago, I started going to another program for relationship help because my OA sponsor kept suggesting it, because I kept talking about relationships over and over and over again. When I was in my third step in that program, my sponsor suggested to go on just have God take me on a walk. And the instruction was, like, leave my BlackBerry at home. Don't take anything with me. And I was in New York at the time. So I did. I'm the person that, like, walks around, like email constantly, like, sucked into my, I have an iPhone now. So that's really exciting. But I am totally not looking around, but just, like, working and whatever. So I did that, and it was such an incredible experience. I noticed, like, the clouds floating by, and, like, the pace that they were floating, and, like, people's faces were, you know, like, I walked home from work that day, and it was a beautiful sunny day. It was one of, like, the first beautiful days in New York that was, like, warm, and there were so many people out, like, drinking and having fun and with their friends. And I remember thinking when I walked home, like, I want to be out, like, having fun with them. I don't have anyone to call right now. Like self-pity. Like, I don't have any friends, and this all sucks, and this is a beautiful day, and I'm not doing anything. And then I went for a God walk, and then everything completely shifted, and I was looking around at these beautiful people enjoying each other's company, laughing and having a good time, and, like, it was just completely different. And, like, I've heard, there's this speaker that I love that was talking about, like, when I'm with God, like, I look around and I look at all the colors of green that there are in the world, and there's like, an infinite number of colors of green, and I can see that when I'm with God, and I just don't see that when I'm with me, when I'm in my head. Completely, like, okay, God, where do you want me to step next? Like, where do you want me to go? Do you want me to go down this street or this street? And it was just, like, fun. Gorgeous. People were beautiful. People loved each other. I loved people. They loved me. I was smiling. People were smiling back at me. I was walking around with a stupid smile on my face, and people were smiling back. And it was just, like, amazing. And then I never did it again for, like, a year. And And I feel like now, like, just being in this new place where I'm, like, going to God for everything, like, now I get to do it all the time. And, like, it could just be for, like, a millisecond that I'm, like, God, can you just be with me right now? And then, like, things get brighter things get easier, things get peaceful for like that second. And then I can keep doing that, and I can keep doing that. And my sponsor said this awesome thing that I have an obsessive mind that just goes like thinks about things over and over and over and over and over again. Like I don't have a I don't think like with in a line, like in a straight line. Like I don't think about something, come up with a resolution, and then go on to the next thing. Like I just keep thinking about it over and over again. You know, same thoughts, like boyfriend, body, food, you know, like all that stuff. But so in that, like, I can use that amazing skill that I have to like think about God over and over and over and over again. And so that made me really grateful for my obsessive mind. And I and it's becoming a lot more a lot more of like a instinctual thing, like, ugh, God help, you know, like my, and yeah, it's just, it's pretty beautiful, this whole program. I think I'm going to stop because I'm almost at 9:30, and I think we do questions at 9:30. Okay. I'm going to stop and then read the rest of the This is the time for questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any one of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leader are my own and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. I think the question was, so when I talk to God, where, like, what is it, a vision, or is it a... when I talk to God, what do I get back? How does it come back? In like a feeling, usually. Like when I ask God to be with me, I usually feel like just peace. Like I feel safe and I feel like I'm at peace. Or sometimes I just feel like I'm still uncomfortable, but it's okay. Which I guess is feeling like safe. Or it's like just a little thought, like maybe you should try this, or maybe you should call this person, or sometimes I hear nothing at all. And then I just, and then I just get to keep asking, you know, I just keep getting to pray and asking God, like, I don't know what to do about this thing. Like, what do you want me to do? And I don't hear anything. And then I just keep asking and keep asking. But, like just a little feeling, or like, you know, like something told me to do this thing, so I'm doing it. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I'm doing it. So today I go to 3 meetings a week. I go to a meeting in OA, a meeting in my other program, and a meeting in an open AA meeting. And I talk to my sponsor almost every day, but not because she said, call me every day at this time, but just because she said, call me when you feel intuitively guided to call. and so I feel intuitively guided to call regularly. And I write like when something's coming up for me, like I don't have like a, like daily writing assignments, but I write whenever like I don't really know how I'm feeling, or when like I have a resentment, or like when something's coming up for me. I'm reading step one right now, and I'm reading like a paragraph and then talking about it with my sponsor on a really irregular kind of weekly, attempting to do weekly basis. I talk to fellows, but not like 16 fellows every day about every problem like I used to. And I listen to lots and lots of speakers, like in my car, like while I'm driving. And I was just in New York for a bunch of months for work, and I would just listen to speakers like all day long on my iPod, like in the subway, walking around. Like I listen to speakers, tons of speakers. And just talking to God all day long. And then I haven't been regularly meditating, but I was at this meeting last week, and an awesome woman suggested, you know, you could just do 1 minute a day. And so this week I've been doing like 1 minute of meditation a day. She said, can I discuss the process that I went through to become grateful for being a compulsive overeater? I feel grateful for every compulsive thought I have right now. Like, I was just laughing the other day because I'm a compulsive gum chewer. Like, I haven't let that go yet. And I feel so grateful for that because, like, every time I'm like, I must have gum now. Like, I'm just like, God, help me. Like, every time I have one of those thoughts, it's like a reminder that, like, my brain is not the place to go for like, a good thought. Like, I have to go to God for help. So, and I would have never known that if I wasn't a compulsive overeater. You know, like, if I didn't start hurting myself with food and, like, being, you know, and dieting and exercise and all that stuff, I would never have gotten to these rooms and learned that there is a different way of doing life. Like, it's not, like, I don't have to fix and manage and control anything anymore. Like, and that's a total gift. I exercise. I love exercising. I do it a lot, like 4 times a week at least. Like kickboxing and running and fun stuff. And that looks way different than it did before because I used to go to the gym and just like say really mean stuff to myself in the mirror. Like I would just be like, I don't want to say it. It's just mean. And if ever those thoughts come up while I'm at the gym now, like looking in the mirror, I move myself away from the mirror and I just like start repeating to myself, like, I love you. You're doing the best you can. I love you. You're doing the best you can. And that was something my sponsor told me a long, long time ago. I still do that when I try to like just get away from the mirror and then, but I work out because it's really, because I love it. It's fun. And not because I hate my body and want to change it. You know, most of the time. Sometimes I think, I gotta lose weight. I gotta go to the gym. And my food, I mean, I used to be like wake up in the middle of the night and binge, like, I was a binger. So, like, I didn't go, like, too much into, like, the binging part of it. But there were, and I like, trained for a marathon and, like, binged the whole, like, I gained 15 pounds, like, while training for a marathon because I just kept binging. And after every long run, it was just, like, massive binge and, like, you know, painful binges and, like crying and stuffing my face with food and not being able to stop. And like that doesn't now, like I do still feel like I have some, you know, like snack mix was a problem like a couple months ago. Like I couldn't not keep going back for this snack mix, but like it doesn't look anything like it did before. Like it's, yeah, like I pretty much, I mean, I don't hurt myself with food on a regular basis, every so often, but yeah. The question was, has my relationship with my family changed from before program and now? Yes, totally. I mean, I was always close to my family. Like, I'm lucky, and I really love my family, and but I'm definitely more transparent with them. Like, I'm just, like, I even talk about God with them sometimes now. And, but I did, you know, going through the doing my amends with my family was totally incredible. Like, I stole money from my dad, and I apologized for that, and I made amends for that, paid him back. I made amends to my sister for not being, like, for being, not being there for her as a big sister, like being gone from her life basically because of food and body and drugs. And made amends to my mom for just being awful. Like I was so mean to my mom, like when I was in high school through college, like just like I was completely obsessed with myself and like totally selfish and mean. Like I just didn't care about how my actions like made her feel. I mean, I did somewhere, but and I didn't even know I was all those things, you know, before program. But So, I mean, I make a conscious effort when I go home now to, like, be helpful, to clean up, to bring groceries home, to not just take, you know, but to be, like, a contributing member of my family and to help out wherever I can and be of service to my family wherever I can. And, I mean, you know, that's how I try to be in all areas of my life, you know, now. But my... I'm close to my family now more than I was before program, definitely. The question was that when I have food issues, like when I have compulsive stuff come up with like snack mix, what do I do in those situations? It's that same kind of thing about like, I just ask God to be with me. And then like, God, if you want this to stop, like, help me stop. Because I don't, like, maybe I need to go through this thing with the snack mix. I don't know. Like if you want this to be finished, like, take it, please. And then it just, like, becomes, then I have these moments where I'm, like, just, it's just easier to not have that stuff around. Like, it's not like I'm, like, I will put it on my abstinence and I will never eat it again. It's just like, ugh, it's just too hard for me to have that stuff around. And then I haven't had snack mix in a long time now, like since that. Terrell asked how step 4 and 5 helped me with self-acceptance. Thanks for asking that question, because I just had such an amazing experience with doing step 7 with my sponsee. And, I mean, all those 4, 5, 6, 7, like, help so much with self-acceptance. He was going through this process of not, anyway, I'll talk about myself. So just acknowledging that, like, I have character defects just like everybody else. I'm no better or worse. I'm just, like, one among many. Like, I have... So writing those things down, looking at like why I did the things that I did, why I resented the people that I resented, because I was afraid or because I was, jealous or because whatever it was, and then saying those things to somebody else and that person saying back to me like, yep, me too. And then sharing that stuff in meetings and everyone's like saying, yeah, we all do that stuff. And then it's like not a secret anymore. It's all out in the open. I'm not alone anymore. Like I'm not the disgusting, like evil person that I thought I was. I'm just the same as all of you. And then I'm okay. 'Cause I love all of you. Like if someone else told me the things that I was telling them about me, like I would be like, I know, honey. Like me too. It's totally okay. I'm able to forgive myself and forgive everybody else too, because we're all just doing the best we can. The question was, can I talk about how the food behaviors that made me miserable in the beginning shifted and changed. So in the beginning, I had a food plan that was 3 meals a day. I went through so many different food plans, but one that like worked for a really long time for me was just eating my meals on a plate, sitting down, like being the plate being the black and white boundary. And then for a long time, I texted before and after every one of my meals, and that was also like a black and white boundary for me, like just giving me some like guidelines. And that brought me like so much freedom when I was doing that. I mean, it was incredible. Like I remember driving home from work one day after like my first few months of abstinence and just being like, oh my God, I haven't binged in like a month. Like it was just crazy that I was like eating 3 meals a day and texting before and after whatever I was doing at the time. But I mean, some of those things, you know, praying before meals, just like, totally brought me freedom. And those were the first things I did. So I haven't had sugar for 4 years and 3 months. That's what I've abstained from for 4 years and 3 months. I mean, my abstinence, so I've been in program for 6 years and I broke my abstinence. It was like no binging was my abstinence for a long, long time. And then I binged. So I broke my abstinence. And now, like, looking back on it, like, I don't know if I should have said, like, I broke my abstinence or not, but that was my, that was my abstinence for a long time. And then it just became really clear that, like, sugar was a problem for me. Like, every time I had it, I wanted not only more sugar, but just more food and more and more and more. And so then I was willing to put sugar on my abstinence and abstain from that. So it was then I abstained from binging and from sugar. And that's my abstinence now, pretty much. That's why I feel like it's a weird time for me to be talking to you all, because I don't really know. Like, I think I probably have binged in the last, like, 6 months. But, like, it's okay. It's not like a, it doesn't look like it looked before at all. But I don't hate myself. Like, I just ate more than I needed to. Like, it's not like, I didn't go into, like, I hate myself, I'm disgusting, and I want to die. But I haven't had sugar for four years and something like that. Totally. How do I balance working the steps in two programs? At 9:50 we stopped. It's tricky. It's not easy. I was working the steps in the other program, pretty ferociously, like, really regularly meeting with a sponsor and doing step work in another program and then working the traditions, but not really work. Like, after the 12 steps in OA, I started working the traditions with my sponsor, but, like, I wasn't not quickly at all, like, really, really slowly. I think I only did, like, tradition one, actually, and then but, like, the steps in OA for me are, like, after, like, working them in the workbook and meeting with a sponsor and doing them that way, like, I just, like, it's like a daily working of the 12 steps in OA for me. You know, like, whenever a resentment comes up or whenever a fear comes up, like, I really easily can go to, like, doing a mini fourth step and, like, turning it over, talking it out with somebody, like, looking at my defects, like, asking God to remove them, like, making amends where I need to, like, just kind of daily, like, using all of the steps in my life, is what I did just, like, in OA. And now I'm working just with one sponsor, and just because it's becoming so clear to me that it's just not the people or the food or the body. It's just, like, it's all the same thing for me. I'm just, like, working the steps right now out of the AA 12 and 12. Cause it's all the same for me right now. Yeah, I totally just acted as if in the beginning I felt so fake and so weird, and I was just like, okay, I'm doing step three in the workbook, like, but I, you know, I did everything that it said, like, you just start talking to God, act as if, this is so stupid, but I thought of God as, like, this big heart in the sky with, like, big arms that would, like, reach out and, like, hug me when I needed it, and it was just love, like, unconditional love was, like, what I could grasp onto as, like, my concept of a higher power, and that still kind of is, like, it's just unconditional love and wisdom and peace and joy, and there's a woman that always says, like, good orderly direction, like, you know, which I love also. But it's like this huge, expansive, like, feeling of love for me. But yeah, it was totally a process of just doing what I was told in the beginning and then just becoming, like, really aware that, like, my life feels so much better when I don't try to run it, when I ask God to help me with everything. Like, it just works so much better when I believe that I have a higher power. So, yeah. Okay. 9:50.